This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Hello, hello. It's Cliffo and me mate Bronte, the Yo. Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Wednesday.
Wednesday, day of release and a bit of swooning.
Oh, my goodness. The podcast today. Yeah, I think we found a show crush, all of us. And luckily, the feeling seems mutual because Colin Donnell, who is the star of a new Netflix series, Irreverent, filmed here in Queensland, he also wants to be our co-host.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the grab again. Just listen.
If you guys ever need a co-host, you can zoom me in.
With a voice like that, how could we say no?
Voice, my goodness. And also seems like a very lovely guy who loves Queensland, so we love him.
What did you cop a lifetime ban from was another question we asked. Plus, we learnt about Bronte's greatest fear.
Yeah, came face to face with it at 4 o'clock this morning.
Oh, what a rude wake-up call,
right? My alarm clock.
Hang about, it's coming up, the Cliffo and Bronte podcast. Dads are supposed to be uncool, a mold I'm clearly breaking.
Daddy
cool. Thank you.
I like that you played the music before I had a chance to protest.
Now that just starts. When I talk about being a cool dad, it just begins that music. It's weird.
It's so bizarre.
Have you ever heard of a dadism?
No, I haven't.
I mean, it's a term that I created. So,
oh, well, then probably not.
I thought it'd be out in the vernacular by now.
No, I surprisingly haven't heard that one yet.
Dadisms are dad quirks.
Uh-huh.
Little things that dads do that are reserved for the population of dads.
Sure.
Out there. Things that I didn't do before I became a father 8.5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But now they're quite prolific in my life. Mm-hmm. The ultimate, I say it because the ultimate dadism dropped the other day. But just to give you a bit of an idea of a dadism, for me, a dadism is mowing the lawn in a Bunnings straw hat.
Yeah, that's solidly dad behavior.
That's a dad thing to do.
Yeah.
Right? Loud sneezing.
Oh, God.
Like when I became a father, my sneezing went from like an achoo from the throat or whatever to like that deep stomach, you think he's coughing up a lung.
Yeah, earthquake inducing.
No one laughs. No one sneezes, I should say, louder than your dad.
I've got one for you.
Yes.
Using a handkerchief.
Yes.
That is a dadism. Only person I know that does, apart from you, is
actually,
my father.
Producer Alicia, can we put this on the board for later in the week? We don't have time now.
Yeah.
We got an interview with Colin Donnell.
Yeah, and that's a daddy, not a dad. So let's get to him.
He's a daddy. We got him coming up. But there's a phoner in that, like ultimate dadisms.
Yeah.
So there's the Bunnings hat, the loud sneezing, the using of the handkerchief. You've nailed it there.
Thank you.
But I dropped a line the other day. Bit of a gag, bit of a dad joke, you might say.
Goodness gracious.
That was the ultimate dadism. So I'm with the whole family. We went out for Sunday lunch. Went out for a counter meal.
Lovely.
At our local. We went to the bistro. We're lining up and I look over to my left and I could see very clearly there was a large table that was a 50th birthday party because there was balloons with the 50 and all that on there. And
are we sure it was 50 or was it 5 and the 0 was in the wrong place?
I don't think you have to be that numerically
just sort of spot on
to put a 0 in front of the 5 for a 5th.
That was a dad joke. So just
that, you know,
I'm trying to get to your level, mate.
Dadism right there.
Keep going.
So the lady walks over and she looks at my wife and looks at me, looks at the two kids, and she just goes, "Are you with the big table? Uh-huh. Are you with the party?" And that's when I dropped my line, the ultimate dadism. She goes, "Are you with the big table?" And I went, "Well, I am if they're paying."
Oh my God. I'm not even your kids and I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah, that's kind of the reaction I got from my wife.
The only thing that could have made that worse was that if you looked at the waitress's name tag and said,
"Oh yeah,
if they're paying, Cheryl."
"I am if they're paying, Doreen. Seat me over there."
Been a big year for productions coming to Australia and like bringing a lot of Hollywood stars and things down under. And one coming to our very own state of Queensland. It's going to be on Netflix. It's called Irreverent. And the star joins us right now, Colin Donnell. Good morning.
Good evening here, but good morning to you guys.
And where are we dialing in from, where it is evening?
New York.
Quite different from Mission Beach.
Quite different from Mission Beach, North Queensland, where this series was filmed. It's a it's been called in the documentation before me a comedy, but I think it's like a crime comedy, I think. Before we get into you filming it in Queensland, give us a run through of Irreverent, the show coming to Netflix that you star in, Colin.
So I play Mac / Paulo, who is a criminal from Chicago, Illinois, who works for the mafias of Chicago. And after a deal goes bad, he has to go on the run. And he decides that he is going to get as far away as possible and ends up impersonating a preacher in a small reef town in the far north of Queensland, Australia.
Can I just ask, because you were also in Chicago Med, is there something about Chicago that every project that you're in needs to have some kind of tie to it?
Apparently. I didn't know that going in, but I think I'm going to make it a staple going forward.
Fair.
It's a wonderful city. It deserves.
Yeah,
it deserves all the
space. Oh, I mean, it's beautiful.
One city that, no, it's not even a city, one town that doesn't get nearly as much in the spotlight as Chicago is, of course, Mission Beach. And it's one thing I think in Queensland we're really proud of, like the amount of productions happening in this state. It's going through the roof. How did you find living in Mission Beach, Queensland, Colin?
Being completely honest here, I cannot tell you how much I loved it.
Oh, good answer.
I had so much fun. And, you know, I was very lucky. I had both my wife and my daughter with me for most of the production, and they were with me for the entire time that we were up in Mission Beach, and it was such a beautiful experience to have them with me. And our daughter at the time was only 1 year old. And she went to daycare for the first time in Mission Beach. Walking her around the markets on Sundays was amazing. I mean, taking her out of the house and down to the beach and watching her put her feet in the water and get her diaper all wet and soggy and very, very, very full. I mean, it was spectacular. Mm. And, you know, we fell deeply in love.
Awesome. I do have to ask though, because you are impersonating a preacher in the series, and that's a long robe, long gown. And it can get pretty friggin' hot at Mission Beach. How did you go dealing with that heat?
I lost about 6 kilos in those 10 weeks that we shot there.
Really?
Yeah, maybe I needed to lose about 6 kilos, but I was shocked by the amount of water that I was taking into my body.
Right.
And equally shocked by the amount of water that I still needed.
Really?
It's the collar. It's the reverend's collar around the neck.
Exactly.
That's where the heat is.
Yeah.
While you were here, did you pick up any of the Aussie lingo? Did you start dropping any Aussie to mate? Or, like I said, at the start of this interview, I said, Carrie and Tommy back, the Savo.
Oh, true.
We learned the other day that Arvo, that's an Aussie abbreviation.
Yeah. I picked them all up. They sound really weird coming out of my mouth. So I try not to use them in general conversation. In fact, I was just texting with our showrunner, Patty McRae, and I said, because it's Irreverent is premiering in 2 days here in the United States. And I said, we're 2 days away, mate.
Oh.
And yeah, you can tell it just sounds like a buffoon saying it when I say it out loud myself. But he wrote me back. He's like, who the hell are you?
And what have you done with Colin? No, I think that's good. You've embraced it.
I try.
Good
you know,
job.
We were hoping that our daughter would start calling us mum and dad and asking for brekkie.
Well, you've got another baby on the way. Congratulations. You guys have just announced your pregnancy.
Thank you.
So maybe baby number two will come out with an Aussie accent.
G'day, mum. G'day, dad. You're my best mates.
I think it's possible.
Filmed in Mission Beach. It's releasing. It's out on Netflix this coming Sunday. It's called Irreverent. It looks so good. Real fish out of water story. To have the leading man, Colin Donnell, on live from New York. Colin, so great to meet you. Thank you for your time. And good luck for the series.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
So there is a beef brewing at the moment on the cricket pitch in Australia.
Ashes? Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it Ashes? I'm not much of a cricket guy. Not going to be honest.
Okay.
But the beef I'm referring to is the annual Politicians versus the Press game.
Oh, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, they don't tell them as that. I don't think. But it's just a fun thing where the pollies take on the press. So the politicians take on the journalists on the cricket pitch. Happens every year. The politicians won this year.
Oh, okay. Well done, pollies.
However, that victory is now in doubt due to one man by the name of Mark Latham, who years ago was the head of the Labor Party.
Yeah.
He was like the opposition against John Howard.
Back in the day.
He's One Nation now. Yay.
Learning. Yeah. Learning lots of things about Mark Latham.
Let's be honest, hasn't been the most relevant
person.
Like, you know, for the last however long since he was up against Howard. But anyway, he is now the reason that the politicians win over the media is now in question.
Mm.
Because.
Sandpaper?
No.
Ah.
Tape. Now, when the scorecard was handed over to Cricket New South Wales, an eagle-eyed historian raised an alarm, saying apparently Mark Latham copped a lifetime ban from playing cricket in New South Wales in the 1970s.
Oh. What?
So a spokesperson for Cricket New South Wales said in the 1979 New South Wales season,
yes,
Latham abused an umpire and stuck two fingers up at him, like did the up yours.
Yeah.
After being given out during a fourth grade game.
Oh, my God.
So he was out.
Fourth grade.
Yeah, I know. So he was quite narky from a young age. But apparently in 1979, a young Mark Latham abused an umpire. He copped a lifetime ban from Cricket New South Wales. And the historian's like, well, that's a we have to disqualify. Like, that's a forfeit now for
for the pollies?
For the politicians, because they had a banned player, like a player who knew he had a lifetime ban.
I can't believe someone has a lifetime ban from a sport.
Right?
I didn't know that was
like,
a thing.
Can't play cricket in the entire state of New South Wales.
Cheeky.
And it did get me thinking, and I'd love to open the phones on this now, Bronte.
Okay.
131060. Is there anyone at all listening to our show right now who has a lifetime ban on anything? Have you copped a lifetime ban? Who's copped a lifetime ban?
From like a venue, maybe, like a pub.
Venue?
I've heard of people. Do you know the Ree in Brisbane? Like
I've
the
heard of it.
Royal
yeah.
Exchange?
Yeah.
It's like the pub that you go to at uni. It's
right.
Like $2, $4 basics or whatever.
Oh, man, they'd be handing out bands
Wednesday
like
night.
Hot breakfast.
A few of my guy mates are still, they've still got lifetime bans from the Ree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked on the radio a little while ago that story of some American people who lived in a shopping center. Mm. Like they found like a secret little room in a shopping center and they lived in it for like 4 years. Crazy story. Get it on the listener podcast.
Oh, okay.
But they so the judge couldn't really prosecute them with any like aside from trespass or whatever, slapped them with a fine. But they couldn't really do much more than that.
Mm.
So the shopping center went, "You're banned."
Banned for life.
For life.
Oh, that
from the
sucks.
Shopping center.
That sucks if that's the only shopping center in your area.
Look, 131060, who has copped a lifetime ban from anything we'll take?
Yeah, I like it.
So and this is a new one for me. You can ban people from sport. That
apparently,
was new for me.
Yeah.
But venues is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a school. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sharon is first up. Sharon, have you copped a lifetime ban?
I have copped a lifetime ban.
What did you do, Sharon?
I just told a horse judge that they didn't know what they were bloody doing.
Oh, is this like in some sort of
equestrian
competition or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was all of probably about 13.
Yeah.
And I was showing at an expo.
Mm-hmm.
A particular breed of horse, which is what they call a buckskin.
Mm-hmm.
And, the judge really didn't know what they were doing, so...
They never do, Sharon.
I let them know. And, I ended up with a lifetime ban from showing a buckskin in South Australia.
Wow. Every other state's fine. Just the small little state, just South Australia.
Who cares? It's South Australia,
can't do
right?
equestrian in South Australia anymore. Michelle is here on 131060. Michelle, did you cop a lifetime ban?
I did.
Oh, Michelle.
Where from?
Michelle.
Australia Post in a regional centre.
Oh, my God. What did you do, Michelle?
So I went into withdrawal cash and I popped some items to purchase on the bench.
Uh-huh.
And when I got home, the police arrived and said, you didn't pay for this item.
Oh.
So they just gave me the cash out and they didn't scan it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't notice. So they reviewed the footage and I wasn't charged with stealing. However, they did slap me with a lifetime ban.
Wow!
From Australia Post, what are your options then when you have to post something?
I didn't have any options, really.
Just invest in carrier pigeons.
I
don't know. Wow. Good one, Michelle. Thanks for the call.
No worries. Have a great day.
You too.
Richard's next. Richard, did you cop a lifetime ban?
No. How are you going? It wasn't me, actually. It was one of my good mates. Cathy, we called him. He had a lifetime ban and we're at the pub and he managed to sneak in and I won a big seafood tray in a raffle they had.
Yeah.
And they approached me and were like, hey, if you give us your meat tray for us to have later, we'll take your mate's lifetime ban off for you.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, I'm a good fella. Yeah, right.
Wait.
But so we did that and then half an hour later he's kicked out and they bloody put the lifetime ban back on him. So
and you were without
it. So you got no friend in the pub.
Yeah.
And no bloody meat tray. Richard, you got to find some new friends, brother.
Going back to Christina Aguilera's Fighter that we just played, I really wish that I had that kind of mentality this morning because I was faced with one of my greatest fears in life.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know if I've spoken to you about this phobia that I have. And I don't know where it came from, but I came face to face this morning with my biggest fear, which is grasshoppers. Don't laugh.
Wow. Scary.
Grasshoppers are really scary.
My brother has the thing for frogs.
Okay.
So, like, I can understand, like, some people have their animal.
Yeah.
Like, some people have the kryptonite animal for them. And if grasshoppers is yours.
That's what mine is.
Respect to you.
And you know how we've spoken, for some reason, over the last few days, we've spoken about the responses that you have to
yes.
when you're faced with an issue. We've got fight. Flight.
There she is. Fight.
Fight, flight.
Flight.
And I
so
think
fight is you stay in defense.
You
flight
stay,
is
fight it.
Out of there.
And the third one, which I think they're starting to bring into the conversation more, is freeze, where you just like don't really know what to do. You're like shocked. So you just stand there. You don't fight
I think
or freeze.
I'm that one.
Yeah, I think I'm more freeze. I thought I was until I was face-to-face with the grasshopper this morning because in any other aspect, I would flee out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
I came face-to-face with this grasshopper in an elevator in my building.
Okay, so suddenly the element of flight.
Gone.
Gone.
Yep.
So you're left with fight.
Yep.
Or freeze.
Yeah. But even freezing, like, I'm in a contained space, so I freeze, but the thing is still around me. And it wasn't a long elevator ride. I wasn't about to fight the grasshopper, but I don't know what category this falls under. Mm. All that happened was that I let out a silent scream at the grasshopper.
A silent scream.
Because it was 4:40 a.m. and your body isn't really awake.
Did you just do like a... like you... Right.
Which I don't know what that falls under, but...
Yeah.
It just like...
So there's...
Fight.
Fight, flight.
Freeze.
Freeze and...
Flay?
F-wittery? Maybe? Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow morning, Thursday, the 1st of December.
And thank you so much for joining us, taking the time to get through the podcast so that you find this clue.
Mm.
I was a bit hard on everyone today.
You were cracking the whip, mate. No excuses for not getting the free answer.
No.
It's right there. It's on the listener app.
It's right here.
And it
is violin.
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 V.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, tough one for a Friday.
Well, luckily it's a Thursday tomorrow.
Oh, it's the only Thursday tomorrow. Oh, sorry, guys. Got your hopes up then, didn't I? Tomorrow's clue is violin for Thursday, the 1st of December.
I don't know if you saw the photo that was circulating yesterday on the internet regarding the bedside table of the world's richest man.
No. So okay. I saw headlines about this. I know it became we're talking about Elon, right?
Of course.
So we're talking about Elon. I did see headlines about this, but you warned me off the story yesterday. So I've been a good boy.
Good.
I mean, I'm clickbait Cliffo. Well, usually it sucks me in, but I haven't clicked the links.
I get to
you
be
said avoid the story.
Clickbait Bronte today because I have a list of the things that were on Elon Musk's bedside table in a photo that he uploaded to Twitter. I'm going to give you the list.
Must have been a bloody slow news day.
Right?
Yesterday.
And you tell me what wasn't on the bedside table, okay?
Okay. How many things on the list here?
Okay, so on my list, I have 6 things.
Yep.
And 5 of them were on the bedside table. So
one thing is not on the bedside.
Arguably a bit of a cluttered bedside table, but we can get into that
a little
later.
It's bigger than my bedside,
true,
I'm sure.
True, true. Okay, so I'm going to give you the 5.
Right.
Oh, I get to be the host for once.
And one of these things was not on Elon Musk's bedside table.
Correct. Yeah. I'll repeat them a few times in case you get
confused. Okay.
First thing, a pistol replica that was once owned by George Washington in a wooden box that has a lid with the painting that of the president crossing the Delaware River. So that's one item.
That sounds like something a rich person would own.
Number 2, another gun replica.
He's a gun guy, is he, Elon?
Yes, he's pro-guns.
Oh, Americans, man.
Yeah. A revolver replica, and this is from a video game that he likes.
Okay.
That's number 2. Number 3, a half-empty bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
I feel like a rich person would have a more exquisite sort of breakfast.
It is his favourite breakfast.
Cereal. It is. Okay.
That or a Mars bar, apparently. Number 2, a Tibetan Buddhist amulet that is used for meditation.
Yeah, it sounds like another rich person thing.
Number 5, 4 open cans of caffeine-free Diet Coke. And lastly, a 3-book set including the Declaration of Independence and the US Constitution. So
okay,
one
so
more
just
time.
Speed through again. We've got the gun.
Pistol replica. Yeah. Revolver replica.
Yeah, bowl from the video game.
Bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Buddhist amulet.
Yeah.
4 cans of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And a 3-piece book set. That's all
it's
on Elon Musk.
It's a huge bedside.
Isn't it?
I don't know why, but my brain is going towards, like, I feel like 2 guns is too much.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the first one sounds like something a guy like Elon would own. I'm going to say
grand wooden box.
Yeah, I feel like that's it. I'm going to say the replica gun from the video game is the, you've just made that one up. Because the other thing is too, you said the replica one with all the detail and you went, another gun from a video game.
Unfortunately, he does have 2 replica guns on his bedside table. Yeah.
Is it the cereal?
It's the cereal.
Oh, he's had cereal up.
He does eat.
That was going to be my second guess.
He does eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal for breakfast or a Mars bar, but everything else was on the table.
4 caffeine-free Diet Cokes.
He's addicted to Diet Coke, apparently. Yeah, that's all he drinks.
Caffeine-free Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Caffeine-free Diet Coke. That sounds like it would just be water.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.